think that being a manager is an all-consuming position, looking at it closely as I have done in the last month. And you'll notice that he missed a pre-season friendly, which is not like Gary. He's there for his lads and he's always been at everything. So he's had some personal commitments that he's had to attend to, and that's been something that's played a big part in his decision to go, and we've got to respect that, because when you're a manager, you aren't just looking after them on a Saturday on the pitch. You aren't just looking after them in training. You're a father figure, really, and an important role in their lives. So I see it as a 7-day-a-week job, and you know, managers have got their own family as well. He was a great guy. He's put us in a good position. We've signed some new players, as you will have seen, and I can only wish him the best and thank him for what he's done to date.
Were strenuous attempts made to ask him to stay, or was it beyond that?
I think he'd made up his mind on what he wanted to do. His family come first, and I've got to respect that, and you know, let him do what he needs to do and be where he needs to be and concentrate on that, really.
That's 3.5 weeks ago, isn't it? Since then, I would imagine that CVs were floated around and ended up on your desk. How many people have you spoken to, Natalie, with regards to taking on this job?
There's been hundreds of CVs from all sorts of people. Some of them have a lot of experience, some of them less so. I've spoken to in person a handful of people, and obviously we're also speaking to Terry as well, because he's done a great job for us in stepping up and looking after them.
Have you ruled any of those names out of the equation now? Have some people been informed that on this occasion it would not be right to appoint them?
Yes, there's been a couple of people. We're down to a shortlist, and next week we'll confirm who the manager will be.
Terry McPhillips has come out publicly and said that he would like the job. How impressed have you been with the way he's taken it on in the last 3.5 weeks?
I've had a lot of emails of support from fans for Terry. He's got on with it. He knows the players. He's continued in the style that we had previously, so it's familiar, it's comfortable. They've been training well. We're on a bit of a cup run now. We're waiting for tonight to see who we get. It's been a solid start.
You say that we have an appointment of some sort next week. Does Terry have to get a result at Walsall to stay in the frame? How does it work in that respect?
It would be nice to get 3 points, wouldn't it? But, well, we'll speak to Terry on Monday and we'll have a chat about things, and Terry will be the first to know, you know, what's happening.
You've trusted his judgment in terms of bringing other players in since Gary's left, Liam Feeney being one of them, and the window closes tomorrow for loan signings. Will you be taking his opinion and thoughts in the next 24 hours to continue to try and bring players in?
Yes, definitely. He's really experienced, you know, in this industry. He's been in it for many years and he's got a good eye for players. He goes himself. He was at a match last night and he puts his heart and soul into it. And I've got to be guided by him because I'm not a football manager.
In terms of football and sort of experience and credibility, this football club has been owned by your family for an awfully long time. You're new to it.
Yes.
So in terms of the interviewing of prospective managers, have you had to seek advice in order to absolutely know what it takes to recruit a football manager?
Yes, of course. I've been around the football club for a long time, but not any serious involvement. So, of course, I've spoken to a lot of people here and I've had a lot of support and I've been lucky. And sometimes you've got a bit of a gut instinct on people. You sit with them and, you know, they show something a bit special, or you can see something, and you've got to go with your gut as well, haven't you?
Just in terms of people, if they're listening to this interview, your father is Owen Oyston. Has Owen played an active role in the interview process himself?
He's been here, as you say, for 33 years, and it's his money that's kept it going for 33 years, so it would be wrong of me not to seek his opinion.
He's the owner of the football club.
He is.
So I take it his decision is the final one with regards to who gets the job, isn't it?
Well, we can have a good debate. More of a debate than you probably would if you're working for someone. It's a bit different when it's family, so we'll probably argue it out.
Do you think it might get to a case where you might disagree on who might be the way forward?
We always disagree, but we usually find a solution in the end.
How have you found the role so far then? Just away from the managerial side of things. People might look at it, Natalie, and think, why on earth would you want to be in the role as chairwoman of Blackpool Football Club with everything that has gone on in recent years that have seen the vast majority of the support base refuse to come back until your family is no longer here?
Good question. I was born here. I love it. I feel like a football club should be the hub of a community. I've not been involved previously. You know, I'm sure there has been some mistakes made in the past, but some good things too. I know it'll take time, and I know some people will probably never come round, but I would like to be open to anyone that wants to come back, and I'd like the football club to be the hub of the community again. And I don't blame anyone for having an opinion and for voicing it. We live in England, and that's what we're lucky enough to do. It's an honour to be in this position. The club's, I think it's 133 years old, something like that. I'm proud to be involved, and if I can just get a few people coming back, and you know, they don't have to like me, but just to support the team is what I'd like people to do, and to just really give me a chance to show them that, you know, they'll be listened to and supported. And we're a small town, and it would be nice if we could be as one, rather than at the moment we're a little bit torn apart, aren't we?
It's so far removed from being the hub of the community now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It makes people very sad and very angry when they think they can't come to the place that they have been to for so long.
Yes.
To say you'd love to see them come back, the reality is, Natalie, they're not coming back, are they? And the stats would tell us as much.
I think some people won't come back, and I would hope that other people will change their minds if they see, you know, some progress and see things going in the right direction. And I plan to spend a bit of time with the fans, and if they'll have me. And, you know, I don't mind taking a bit of abuse and listening to a few opinions, and as long as they will do the same and listen to, you know, what I'm trying to do. And, you know, I want them to enjoy the football. And I want, you know, I want them to feel it is somewhere to come, and I want to try. I don't think there's any other way than to try. And if you can't convince people, you know, you've done your best, and then that's all you can do, isn't it?
There's been a lot of time spent in the last 12 months in the High Court. There's been a lot of time spent between Mr. Royston and Mr. Bellacon. It's all very public. Everybody seems to know exactly what's going on and where, and that kind of thing. One statement from Owen Royston said that the club was for sale, which was, I think, before Christmas last year. Is that very much the case, that you are waiting for an interested party to come and take Blackpool Football Club off the hands of the Royston family?
No, not at all. The reality is, I don't think that Owen felt there was another way forward. Whatever people think of him, good or bad, he does love it, the club. I think he'd be devastated to not be a part of it anymore. So, in an ideal situation for him, he'd like to be able to agree a settlement and you know, find the money and move on from this. He'll only sell if he absolutely has to.
So if an interested businessman came to Owen now and said, look, we will buy Blackpool Football Club, we will buy the car parks, the training ground, the hotel, everything else, he would or wouldn't be interested in selling everything? Because that's exactly what this club's fans want clarification on, Natalie, that is Owen Royston prepared to leave Blackpool Football Club? Because they're saying if he's not, then we can't come back.
If financially somebody comes along and they can afford to pay the wages and look after it for the next 100 years, it might be a consideration. It's not his first choice, but he's not going to see it come to any harm if he can help it.
He offered it to Valeri Bellacon publicly in a statement very recently. Have you as a club had any response to that statement, to the letter that Owen sent to Mr. Bellacon?
No, I don't think that Mr. Bellacon wants to take the club on. I think there's been some mixed messages there.
Who from?
From everybody, really. It's been around the town that he wants to come and take it over when I don't think that's his intention. But you never know, he may surprise us. Owen knows he's got the finances to look after it in the future, so he would be comfortable in him taking it and moving forward with it if that's what Mr. Bellacon wanted to do, because it's a difficult situation and we've got to settle it somehow.
Could you clear up the whole John Disley scenario? People want to know more about him. He's been seen at football matches with Owen. Is he genuinely interested in being a part owner, shareholder, that sort of thing?
I can't really comment on John Disley. I don't know much about him. I've not been in his company. I'm not sure whether he would make for the right partner at this point in time.
So at this moment in time, it would appear that there's an average of a couple of thousand people coming in.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about, if Owen is not on the verge of looking for a prospective buyer, how do you go about making 2,000 people 5,000, 5,000 to 10,000? I'm thinking it's almost, Natalie, impossible to manage to convince people who have said time and again, we will not be back. How do you begin to sort of think, well, we can do something? Apart from leave, what can you do?
Well, I think there are some people that just won't come back, and that's really sad. I don't have anything against any of the fans. I think, you know, if we could get some of them back, that'd be wonderful. I'd like to spend some time with them and like to put their ideas, you know, into the club. And I'd like to make some of them that I think will hopefully look at coming back feel part of it again, because I think a lot of people feel very separated from the club, and I'd like to change that. And I can, like I said before, I can only try to do that and try to get people in, spend time. It won't happen overnight. If people will give me a chance to do that, then I'd be grateful. And, you know, life is difficult. It's full of challenges. And, God, there's worse things than, you know, the torment at this football club. I was at the match on Saturday and, you know, one of the fans has not got very long to live. He's been diagnosed and he's got about 2 months to live. And that's a real problem in my mind. Everything else, while we're still here, while we're still on this planet, we can try, we can keep trying to sort things out, and I'll do what I can. I love Blackpool, I love the people, and I don't mind taking a bit of flack as long as people will listen as well and look to try and, you know, give me a chance and give the team a chance. It's not really about me, it's more about the team and how they perform and supporting them, because they're just young lads and they need that. It must be hard sometimes if they don't have, you know, as much support as other football clubs.
I think certain supporters, it's not just the way they feel the club has been run, it's the way that they've had a lot of their life savings taken away by being taken to court would mean that some people will not come back, and then friends of theirs would take the same sort of attitude. So do you feel that the people that have been served court notices, you'll never see again?
It's hard to answer that because I've not been involved in any of the court action. I don't even know, believe it or not, all of the fans that are involved in that. I've heard a couple of names banded around, but yeah, that would be hard for them to do that. But, and it must have got to a bad point previously between the fans and between the management here to get to that. So that's difficult on both sides. I don't think any football club wants to be in the position where they feel that's their only alternative. So I don't know what's gone on. All I know is that I really, you know, I wouldn't want to sue any fans. I don't think it's the way forward, and I can't do anything about it now because it's past and it's done. All I can do is really apologise for any mistakes we've made as a football club in the past and try to do the right thing from now on and moving forward. That's what I'll try to do.
Your brother Carl was chairman here for a long time.
Yes.
Does he have any involvement now whatsoever in terms of Blackpool? Has he had any involvement with regards looking for a new manager or the running of the club or the potential sale of the club? Is Carl involved at all?
No, he's not involved. Unfortunately, him and my father have gone their separate ways some time ago. He's not had any involvement at all.
The training ground is something that has been spoken about for many, many years at Blackpool. The players are not at Squires Gate at the moment, Natalie. Is that going to change at any time, or do you have to look for a new permanent base?
No, we're going to do the best we can at the moment to get it up and running again. Then as soon as things are financially settled, that'll be the first thing on the list to invest in.
At this moment in time, there's no sort of changing facility or water at the places, and I think one pitch, you're going to be away a while, aren't you, before you can sort anything out?
I think that we can get some showers and a few basic things in there in the short term. Then, you know, as I say, when we're financially in the position to do so, we can put it as the first thing on the list, because it's overdue, isn't it?
Well, it's the players' office, isn't it? Every day of the week, apart from the day that they play, it has to be one of the biggest concerns, doesn't it? If you can't be spending time in your workplace when you've got to be somewhere else.
It's important they're comfortable and they've got a good place to train, which at the moment they have. They've got a decent place and, you know, facilities. So I think that's the main thing for me, is that they're okay for now and we'll move forward with a better training ground in the future. But in the short term, as I say, we'll get it as the best we can for them so they can get back there and get on with using their own training ground.
That's Fulwood at the moment, where you find yourselves, isn't it? How long do you think you'll be there?
I think we'll be there probably for another month or so, and then we'll hope to bring the lads back here. Then, as I say, we can look to do something about the problem long term, as it needs quite a bit of investment.